Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah, daf Lamed Tes. The rabbi left off yesterday, Lamed Chesem Ebeiz, toward the very, very bottom of the page. Israel, do you know if your father was Zooming today? He told me he would be Zooming every day. Yeah, he's doing RTC, except he was... Okay. Apparently, there are some people on the Zoom. I'm sure they're going to reach out to Avi Khan. This is Alicia Graf, for those who happen to be listening online later and can't see me. I think the rabbi is going to be giving shiur at the regular time and Zooming. I also therefore assume he'll be posting on YU Torah and all daf, and therefore the regular guidance applies. If you happen to be listening to this and you want to go search for the rabbi shiur, I would advise you to do so. In any event, today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. The rabbi did leave off yesterday at the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom. Today's shiur is going to focus on just a couple of topics. So first of all, we're gonna have some advice from Rava about the proper way to read psukim in order to make sure that you don't have dangling references to the Shem Hashem and similar things. We're then going to talk, and this comes up because we're continuing on with all these statements of Rava about Hallel and such, and we're talking about some of the psukim relating to Hallel and the concept of repeating psukim. We're then going to talk about something that we mentioned yesterday, which is making a bracha on Hallel. So that's a very interesting sugya. The rabbi alluded to some of the aspects of that discussion yesterday. We're going to talk about that today a little bit as well. That will segue into a brief discussion of the concept of making a bracha on mitzvos over lasiyosim, which is obviously a very fundamental concept and a topic in Hilchas Brachas and Hilchas Mitzvahs. And then the Mishnah, which appears in the middle of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph and over to Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and the sugya continues rather on the authority of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, is going to talk about a topic which is a timely topic for this year, this coming Sukkot, which is what happens if a person wants to buy a lulav or arba minim, it's really a lulav, esrog, hadasim, arabas, everything, from somebody during Shemitah year. Because you're not allowed to do business with Shemitah produce. So if you're not allowed to do business, if you're not allowed to profit from Shemitah produce, the question is going to be, how can a person buy Dalin Minim during Shemitah? The Gemara, the Mishnah is going to give an Eitzah, and the Gemara is going to spend the entire Amud Beis trying to figure out how exactly that Eitzah as to how to buy the Dalin Minim during Shemitah is actually meaningful and actually would help somebody in this situation. So again, until we get to the Mishnah, is going to be about Halal and Brachas, and then after that is going to be about buying the Dalaminim during Shemitah. So with that, let's pick up Lamed Ches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Amud. So it says the Gemara as follows. Amar Rava, says Rava, lo lema inish baruch haba, v'hadar b'shem Hashem. So we have at the end of Halal, one of the psukim that we say is Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, Baruch Mechemi Beis Hashem. So Rava gives advice when saying this pasuk, don't say it Baruch Haba, pause, and then B'Shem Hashem, Ella Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. He should say it in one breath, he should just say Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. And the reason is, first of all, Rashi explains that this applies only to somebody who doesn't have a makri, because what we were saying yesterday, we were learning the concept of some people who don't know how to say halal themselves, so you could have somebody saying the words and then pausing in between the words sometimes, and then the person listening should repeat all of the words verbatim. So what Rashi says, the Gemara is talking about in a situation where you don't have somebody being makri for you, in a situation where nobody's reading for you and you're reading the psukim on your own, like we all do, because thank God we all know how to read the psukim. So you shouldn't say Baruch Haba, then take a breath, and then say B'Shem Hashem. Why? Says Rashi, Delo kaime azkara amilso delel umekse kamotzi levatala. Because if you're going to say Baruch Haba, pause, B'Shem Hashem, so you don't know that the B'Shem Hashem is shayach to the Baruch Haba, and it's not readily apparent that what you mean to say is Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, that you're being miyaches the Shem Hashem to the Baruch Haba. Rather, it appears that B'Shem Hashem is hanging out there as like an orphaned B'Shem Hashem, and therefore that is inappropriate. Says Tosfos, I don't really understand how Rava can say this, because the bottom Tosfos on the Amud says as follows. Tema de besof mitzvahs chalitza. There's a discussion regarding the mitzvah of chalitza meseches yevama. So Amar Abaye, so says Abaye, Hayman de makri chalitza. If a person is being makri in the chalitza, so the chalitza is a ceremony which involves this funky looking shoe. It also involves making a lot of statements that the woman has to make. So lo likri lidida. You shouldn't say, so one of the things that the woman says, and the woman doesn't know to say this, she only knows to repeat after the rabbi who's organizing the beis din that's organizing the chalitza. So one of the things that she says is, lo avo yavmi, that I don't want to be with my yavam. Lo avo yavmi. So says Tosfos that Abaya says that a person who's conducting the chalitza, lo likri lididei lo luchudei, you shouldn't say lo, period, and then avo yavmi, demashma avo yavmi, because if you're going to pause between the word lo and the phrase avo yavmi, you might divorce the lo from the avo yavmi, and it might appear that she's making a declaration, avo yavmi, that I do want to be with my yavam, but obviously she's saying she doesn't want to be with my yavam. Ela lo avo yavmi babas achas. Rather, you need to say lo avo yavmi, in one fell swoop, at one time. Velo likri lididei, lo luchudei, v'chafatzti lakachta luchudei. Also, one of the other things that she says is, lo chafatzti lakachta. I don't want to be involved. I don't want, the guy says, I don't want to be involved in this relationship. So you shouldn't say lo, period, and then chafatzti lakachta. Why? Because if you're not meyaches the low to the chafatzti lakachta, so the mashma chafatzti lakachta, because then it's going to be mashma, then it's going to imply that I do want to take her. So ella lo chafatzti lakachta bapamacha. So rather, what you have to say is lo chafatzti lakachta bapamacha. So you have to say it all at one shot. So, however, says Rava, Amar Rava, afzuke milsa les lamba, that there's no problem. You could pause between the lo and the avo yavmi and the lo and the chafatzti lakachta, because we're not afraid that you're going to misinterpret what you're saying. Everybody agrees. Everybody agrees that everybody knows what the intention is. So says Tosfos, v'yesh lomar de labasar de shamahachi merav safra svara, that maybe what Rava says over here, Maseches Yevamos, is after he heard the response of Rav Safra. We haven't gotten to the response of Rav Safra yet. So far, we only know the Shita of Rava, that Rava said, don't take a breath between Baruch Abba and B'Shem Hashem, because we're afraid of the misinterpretation of the Pasuk that's going to ensue. Rav Safra corrected him, and maybe after Rav Safra corrected Rava, maybe that's when he made that comment in Maseches Yevamos. Turns out that according to Rashi, there's no kasha at all, because Rashi had said that the only time it would be a problem, according to the Shita of Rava, to take a breath in between the Baruch Abba and B'Shem Hashem, is where there is no makri, where he's not repeating the psukim after anybody else. We said, but where he is repeating the psukim after somebody else, so we know, even though he's pausing, just wait and we'll see what the other guy says, and it'll come into context, it'll come into focus, what this guy's actually saying. By Chalitza, he's repeating after somebody else, and so therefore there wouldn't be a problem according to the Shita of Rashi at all. In any event, back in the Gemara, the first comment that Rava made was that you can't take a breath between Baruch Abba and then B'Shem Hashem, because then it looks like you're divorcing the Shem Hashem. It looks like you're being Mose, Shem Shamayim Levatullah. We're going to skip the words in the parentheses because they're going to appear in just a couple of lines. So turning to Lama Tesamid Aleph, Amar Rava, and Rava also says, Lema Inish, Yeheshme Rabba Vahadar Mivarach. That you shouldn't say when you answer Yeheshme Rabba in Kaddish, you shouldn't first say Yeheshme Rabba and then say Mivarach. Ella Yeheshme Rabba Mivarach Ba'adadi. Rather, you should say Yeheshme Rabba Mivarach all in one shot. Why? Because if you divorce the Mivarach from the Yeheshme Rabba, then it's not apparent what are you saying should be Mivarach. It's Yeheshme Rabba Mivarach. It should be the Shem Hashem, which is Mivarach, and that should be readily apparent when you are saying this responsive phrase during Kaddish. It happens to be there is a machlokes as to between the Ri and the Machzor Vitri as to what Yeheshme Rabba Mavarach actually means. So the Machzor Vitri says that it's a tefillah that Yeheshme Rabba Mavarach, that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mavarach, he interprets as Shalem. He interprets as it should be complete. Because when the name of Hashem is complete, it's a siman that the geula is imminent. Why? Because we know that it says that ein shmo shalem ve'ein kiso shalem ad sheyimche kol zera amalek. That the name of Hashem is not complete. Also, a little bit of a dafyomi coincidence, right? Coming up to Parshas Kisese, which is at the end of there is Parsha Zachar. So the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not complete until all of the Zera of Amalek is wiped out. So the Yeheshmei Rabba Mavarach is a tefillah that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be complete. However, the Ri says that no, Yeheshmei Rabba, it's not Yeheshmei, that the name of Hashem should be complete. The name of Hashem is Yeheshmei Rabba. The name of Hashem is Shmei Rabba. It's the great name. So the Ri says it's Yeheshmei Rabba Mavarach. The name of Hashem should be blessed. It's not that it's lacking anything that should be completed, but it's the Shame Rabba should be blessed. In other words, according to the Ri, it's all one thing. In other words, the Yeheshmei Rabba Mavarach, it's not that there's a Shmei, not that there's a Shem Hashem, and then it's Rabba, we're making a tefillah that it should be completed. The whole Yeheshmei Rabba is all talking about the same Shem Hashem. From our sugya, it's mashma more like the Ri. But according to the Machzor Vitri, if it's the Heshmei Rabba Mevarach, if what we're asking is that the name of Hashem should be completed, so what's the difference if you pause in between Heshmei Rabba and Mevarach? And so the answer is that even according to the Machzor Vitri, you still shouldn't be mafsik between the Heshmei Rabba and the Mavarach, because even the Mavarach is talking, it is going back on the Shem Hashem. The whole problem is that we're not going to know how to interpret the Pasuk. But clearly, according to the Machzor Vitri, even the word Mavarach, I mean, should be really blessed, and should be really blessed by being complete when all of the Zera Amalek is wiped out. But the Mavarach, what should be Mavarach? It's the Yeheshmei Rabba. It's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it turns out that whether you hold like the Ri or whether you hold like the Machzor Vitri, whatever this tefillah means, whatever Yeheshmei Rabba means, certainly a great tefillah, you would want to be miyaches the Mavarach to the Yeheshmei Rabba so that you actually understand what you're talking about. So again, Rava made two comments, that you have to read entire psukim together, because if you pause in between, it's not going to be readily apparent what you mean. So says the Gemara, Amar le Rav Safra, so four lines down, so Rav Safra said, Moshe, Shaper Kamrit. Moshe, in other words, he referred to Rava as Moshe because Moshe is a reference to the Gadol Ador, so he was giving him a lot of kavod. So Rav Safra was showing that he held from Rava to be the Gadol Ador, but he said, Rava, you know, Moshe, Gadol Ador, is what you're saying accurate? Is never a problem. It's never a problem. In other words, we don't have to be choshesh. We don't have to be choshesh at all because everybody just appreciates that it's the second part of the pasuk. In other words, nobody's going to assume, oh, if you're saying Baruch Haba Hashem Hashem, which everybody knows is a pasuk, and you're pausing in between the Baruch Haba, they're going to think that you're motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala when you say B'Shem Hashem. Or when you say Yeheshmei Rabba Mavarach, everybody knows that we say this so many times a day in response to Kaddish. Nobody's going to assume that if you're going to pause in between the Yeheshmei Rabba and Mavarach, then they're not going to know what you're talking about and what should be Mavarach. No, it's the simple conclusion of the word, and there is not a problem. The Meiri Paskins like Rav Safra, that a small hefsek is not going to be a problem. However, even according to Rav Safra, what are we talking about? We're talking about whether you're allowed to take a breath, whether you're allowed to make a very small hefsek in between the various parts of these psukim. However, even according to Rav Safra, you wouldn't be able to make a very large hefsek in between these psukim. And that's the way we paskin, says the Meiri. Okay, the Gemara now quotes the next part of the Mishnah, which said, Makam shenogu lichbol yichbol, that in a place where they have the minhag to repeat some of the words of Hallel, then you repeat some of the words of Hallel. So we know that at the end of Hallel, we happen to repeat a lot of the psukim in Hallel. And says the Gemara, Tana, Rebbe kofel badvarim, that Rebbe would be kofel certain psukim, Rebbe Elazar ben Prata, Mosif Badvarim. He would add words. So what does it mean? My Mosif. What does it mean that he would be Mosif? He would add words. Samra Abaya, Mosif Lichbol Me'odcha Ulamala. That he would start being Kofel from Odcha and beyond. So in other words, not only that do we repeat the psukim of Ana Hashem Oshiyana and Ana Hashem Atzlichana, and then the psukim of Baruch Haba that come after that, that even at the end of Min HaMeitzar, he would start repeating from Odcha, which is our minig today, of course, as the Ritva. So we hold like Rav Elazar ben Prata, that we actually start repeating words even before Ana Hashem, even from Odcha. Now the Gemara says that we had cited in the Mishnah that in a makam shenogu levarech yivarech, in a place where it's the minig to make a bracha, then you make a bracha. So says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, lo shanu ela la'achrav. When do we say that making a bracha is totally on the minig amadina? That's only the bracha that's after Hallel. Avalafanav, mitzvah levarech. On the bracha before, it is a mitzvah to make, it's going to be a mitzvah to make a bracha. So says Tosfos over here, the top Tosfos, Avalafan of mitzvah levarech, yihai gavna armin and gavim megillah, perek hakoreis and megillah, ome v'chein tanan beperek ba simen, v'yesha ton bracha lafana, vein ton bracha la'achrav. That there were some things that require a bracha beforehand and not a bracha afterwards. And mafarish begemara lasuye rechni. So it comes to include spices. It comes to include like smelling spices. But says Tosfos, avimotzi lemimer lasuye halal megillah, but makam shenagu l'shul olavarech achareyim. That why does the Gemara, when it's searching for an example of something that you make a bracha before and not a bracha after, why does it say, oh, spices? Why doesn't it say halal? Over here we said that there's a machlokas whether you make a bracha after halal or not. So according to the Mandem, it says that you don't make a bracha after halal, and you're only going to make a bracha before halal. If you're looking for an example of something that you make a bracha on before but not after, you could have said halal. So says Tosfos Elarichni Psikalei Kamokein Avimotzu Lemira Mitzvah Tuva Kagon Sitzes Veshofar Vesukav Alulav Lamai Deperish Rabbeinu Tam Deimavarchan Lishmar Chukav. But rather, the Gemara wanted to choose something that was pashat that you don't make a bracha after. So in other words, if you're going to give a paradigmatic example of something that you make a bracha before but not after, so why are you going to be motzi yourself to a machlokas? Why are you going to be nichnas rather to a machlokas? You're not going to enter a machlokas and say, oh, halal, according to the Mandi Amar, it says that you don't make a bracha afterwards. No. If you want a pashat example of something that you make a bracha before and not after, you're going to select the most simple example that's not subject to a machlokas. And what's that? That's something simple like smelling spices. So, but back in the Gemara, for our purpose, we had said that there is a machlokas whether you make a bracha on halal. Says Abaya, that machlokas only applies to the bracha at the end. However, in the beginning, everybody says you have to make a bracha. Why? Because it's a principle of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kol mitzvos kulan, mevarech aleihem over la'asiyasan. All mitzvos, you have to make a bracha on them over la'asiyasan, before you perform them. So if you have to make a bracha on all mitzvos before you perform them, and saying Hallel is a mitzvah, so it comes out, by definition, you have to make a bracha before you say Hallel, just like you have to make a bracha on all mitzvos, over la'asiyasan. So we're going to come back to an important Tosfos here, but before we do, we'll just finish reading the Gemara. Umay mashma dahai over lishna daktumeyu. How do we know that over means before? It's a very weird way of speaking. So diyamar av nachman bar yitzchak tichsiv vayaratz achimatz derech hakikar vayavar esakushi. That achimatz ran derech hakikar and he passed by the kushi. In other words, he got in front of him. And abay yamar meyachav who ovar lifneim, that he passed in front. This is talking about the ultimate geula where everybody comes back to Eretz Yisrael. They're led by Mashiach, but before Mashiach, before Melech HaMashiach, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And Vayavor Malkom Lefneyem, it's a lashon of passing in front. And that's how we know that over Lasiyasan means in front of the performance or before of the performance. So there is an important Tosfos here over Lasiyasan, the second Tosfos on the page. So says Tosfos, Mitam Zeh, Tzarech Levarech Alulav Kodem Sheyit Lenu, that because of the principle that you have to make a bracha on mitzvahs over Lasiyasan before you perform the mitzvah, you have to make a bracha on the lulav before you actually take the lulav. Why? D'ilachar shenotlo, because if you're going to make a bracha after you take the lulav in your hand, mid'agbi nafek bay, from the second you've lifted up your yotz in the mitzvah, as the rabbi said yesterday, the whole nanuim is only a hither. It's not an essential part of the mitzvah. The moment you pick up the lulav and esrog, your yotzei the mitzvah. K'daminim b'sof perkin, umiyu lo mistaber klal. However, says Tosfos, I'm in a jam. I don't know what to do. The heich yivarech alav. When should you make a bracha? V'hu munach b'kli. You should make a bracha before you pick up the lulav and esrog when it's sitting in its holder, when the esrog is sitting in the esrog box. Hamar ba'kometz rabba, tfilin me'im asay mevarech aleihem. When do you make a bracha on tfilin? And also we know tfilin, you have to make a bracha over lasiyasan. But do we make a bracha on our tfilin when it's sitting in our tfilin bag? No. Says the Gemara, menachas mishas anacha ad shas kashira. We first put the tefillin on our arm, but before we tighten the tefillin on our arm, that's when we make the bracha. V'kol shah she'ina mitzvah mizumenes biyado lasos lo mistaber klal levarech alav. whenever the mitzvah is not readily available to be performed, it's not immediately ready to be performed, you can't make a bracha. So how can you make a bracha on the lulav and esrog when it's sitting in the lulav case, when it's sitting in the esrog box? It's not immediately ready to have the mitzvah performed with it. V'shema misha yaska lito lulav kodem shiito la'esrog mavarech. So it says Tosfos with a couple of eitzes. First of all, maybe when you begin to take the lulav, but without the esrog first, then you should make a bracha, because at least then you're holding it, it's mezumenes to perform, but you have not been yotze, because the mitzvah of meda'ag be nafak be is to hold all dalaminim together. V'ayinu over la'siyashen, shema akvin ze'ezeh, because all of the dalaminim are ma'akev each other. Inami la'akar shenotol shneyem, ela shofech echad meyem kedarminim basof perkin, kishahofchu de'ein yotze b'mitzvahs ela derech gedilasan. And the other eitza, which is I think the practice that most of us have, is to invert. So he says either one. It's interesting that Tosfos says you could flip either one of them. I've never seen anybody flip the lula. I think the dalaminim are going to fall out. But we flip the esrog and we make sure that we're holding the esrog lo kederech gedilasan, and therefore we're ensuring that we're not yotze when we pick it up initially. Then we make the bracha, then we invert the esrog and we put it the right way, and so now, immediately after we've made the bracha, we're holding the dalet minim together in the proper way. But you see that there's a struggle between making the bracha too early, not making the bracha too early, I should say, and making the bracha too late, and that's all because of this concept of the requirement to make a bracha of over lasiyosin, which Tosfos adds is not stam before you perform the mitzvah, but it's got to be immediately before you perform the mitzvah. The mitzvah has to be ready to be performed immediately thereafter. Okay, so that's topics one and two of the daf. Now we're going to talk again about a person who wants to buy Dalet Minim during Shemitah. Again, very timely given the upcoming Shemitah year. So says the Mishnah as follows. Alokeach lulav mechavero b'shvias. If a person is buying a lulav from his friend on Shvias, on Shemitah, and so immediately the Rashi says, chavero, Rashi says, let's change the girsa, that it should say, alokeach lulav me'am ha'aretz b'shvias. That if a person is buying a lulav from an amaretz, why? Because we're going to talk about how you pay for the lulav and how much money the chacham is allowed to give the mocher lulavim for this lulav of Shvias, and the reason that we're concerned is we're afraid that the guy might misappropriate the money. He might use the money in a way that's not so consistent with the halachas of how you're allowed to use Shemitah money, which has Kedushas Shvias. And so says Rashi, says not appropriate to say Chavero, because we're talking about an Am Aretz. Tosfos says, Rashi hawks about this Bechinam. Why? Because we have all of these sugyas and shas about women who borrow kalim from their friend who are not osa chulim b'tahara, because they're amei ha'aretz. And in all of these sugyas, we say chavero. And then not only that, Tosfos says, we actually have examples in shas where somebody is buying something from a guy, and even though the person is a nachri, still the Gemara will say chavero. So chavero doesn't necessarily mean that he's on the same level. Chavero just means an acquaintance, says Tosfos. So Rashi, don't get so bothered by the fact that we're calling an Am Haaretz the chaver of a Talmud Chacham. Not really a big deal. But you will see in the Gemara, we are talking about an Am Haaretz. We're talking about a person who's buying a lulav from an Am Haaretz b'shvias. No sin lo esrog b'matana. The Am Haaretz should give the chaver the esrog as a gift. Why? Because it's not appropriate that he buy it during Shvias. So what does it mean that it's not appropriate that he buy it? What does it mean that it's not appropriate that he buy it that he buy it during Shvias? Because you're not supposed to do business. You're not supposed to do business with produce of Shvias. We're going to see in the Gemara how exactly this ruse of giving the esrog b'matana helps anything. So says the Gemara, first of all, the chaver is buying the dalaminim from an amaretz. So here's a guy who is trafficking in Shvias produce. He's obviously selling it. We're trying to figure out a way for the chaver to pay the amaretz in a way that's going to be kosher legabe the halachas of Shvias. And the solution that the Mishnah reaches is, you're not supposed to buy the esrog from him, so make him give you the esrog b'matana. But here's a guy who's not the best guy in the world, right? Because he's selling produce of Shvius, which we're afraid he's not supposed to do. And we think the guy's going to be in on the ruse that he's going to agree to sell to the Talmud Chacham, the Esrei. He's going to agree to sell all this to the Talmud Chacham and give the Esrei b'matana. So says the Gemara, La Ratza Litin Lo b'matana Mahu. What if the Amaret says, no, I'm not in on this joke. I want to sell you the Esrog. You got to pay me for the Esrog. So you're going to have to buy the Esrog of Shvius. What happens then? So says the Gemara, Amaravuna Mavliya Le Dmei Esrog Belulav. Okay, not a problem. So we have a concept of Havla. In other words, just pay him the Dmei Esrog Belulav. In other words, we know from our own experience, what's the most expensive of the Dalaminim? It's the Esrog. So you're going to say to the Amaretz, listen, I want to buy the Dalaminim from you, but I want to pay you only $10, and I want you to give me the Esrog as a Matana. And the guy says, what are you, crazy? I'm not going to do that. So you say, okay, how about this? I'm going to pay you $100, but, you know, I want you to kick in the Esrog for free. So you basically make this sort of trick. From Rashi, it appears that you actually have to specify that the Esrog is thrown in. In other words, that the Esrog is thrown into the larger amount of money that you're offering to him. From the Rambam, however, it doesn't appear this way. From the Rambam, it appears that it's fine if you buy it stam. In other words, you could say, here's $100 for the Dalaminim, as long as you don't say, I'm paying you $100 for the Esrog. So you shouldn't say specifically that you're buying the Esrog from him. So again, back in the Gemara had said, we said that if you want to buy an Esrog of Shvius, then you have to buy the Lulav and have him kick in the Esrog for free. What if he doesn't want to kick in the Esrog for free? Okay, so you just gross up the price of the Dalin Minim, and it's as if he's throwing in the Esrog. It's as if he's throwing in the Esrog for free through this concept of Havla. So says the Gemara, the Lace of Lebedia. What's the problem of buying an Esrog? Lavisha ain't most run to pay Rosh Shvius Lama Aretz, because we cannot give Demei Pei Rosh Shvius money that we use to pay for Pei Rosh Shvius to an Am Aretz. Why can't we give the money that we use to pay for Pei Rosh Shvius to Am Aretz? Because the Torah, the Rashi explains that the Torah specifies the appropriate uses for that money. Because Shvius is la'achla v'lo l'schora. It's supposed to be only for our own personal enjoyment, for our own consumption, but not for schora, not for profit. Why? Because all the Pei Rosh Shvius, either they have to be used for personal benefit or they have to be burnt. There's a time when all of the Pei Rosh of Shvius have to be burnt. And the money that one receives for selling Pei Rosh Shvius has the same halacha as the payros itself. Not necessarily that the money has to be burned, but that the money can only be used la'achla. The money can only be used to buy foodstuffs. It's not supposed to be saved and banked away for profit later on. So because we're afraid that the Amoritz is not going to treat the money that we give him with the appropriate sanctity, we're afraid that he's not going to only buy food, he's not going to only use it to sustain himself, but rather he's going to put it in the bank and he's going to try to profit with it and use it down the road in future years. We're afraid he's going to misappropriate the money. That's why we shouldn't give him money for a Pei Rosh Shvius. Tanya, and now the Gemara cites a Braisa, Ein Mosrin Demei Pei Rosh Shvius Lam Aretz, Yoser Mimazon Shalosh Sudos, that you're not allowed to give more than the Mazon of Shalosh Sudos to an Ama Aretz in exchange for Pei Rosh Shvius. Why Yoser Mimazon Shalosh Sudos? And the reason is because we had said that you're supposed to use the money that you earn from selling Pei Rosh Shvius for sustenance. And therefore, if you're going to give him enough money to use for that day, then we don't have to be concerned he's going to bank it and, you know, use it for future profit. He's just going to buy food. Why Shalosh Sudos? Because one of the days of the week is Shabbos. On Shabbos, we require Shalosh Sudos. So it's possible that if you're giving him Mazon Shalosh Sudos, it's sustenance for one day. And since you're allowed to give it to him on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to give it to him the rest of the week. You're allowed to give it to him the rest of the week as well. So says Tosfos over here, the second to last Tosfos, Yoser Mimozan Shalosh Sudos, Mashma Sheyesh Betmei Esrog Yoser Mimozan Shalosh Sudos. That it's Mashma that an Esrog costs more than the Mozan of Shalosh Sudos. Why? Because what we're saying is you're not allowed to buy an Esrog from an Amaretz during Shvius. Why? Because you're not allowed to pay him for it. But you're allowed to give the Ma'aretz mazon shalosh sudos, which is mashma that the cost of the esrog is much more than the mazon of shalosh sudos. We obviously know that to be the case. And esrog is much more than mazon shalosh sudos. But says Tosfos, v'adetam perik vav de me'ila, nosan lo, shtei prutos, v'yamar lo. If a person gives somebody else two prutos and says, leich v'havi li esrog bi'achas uva'achas rimon, here's two pennies. Go get me an esrog and get me a pomegranate. So how could it be that the cost of an esrog is more than Mazon Shtei Sudos if we have in Maseches Mila somebody telling somebody else to go give him an esrog for a penny? So says the Gemara, says Tosfos rather, Hasam Besrog Posel, the little boy lay El Achila, Valhacha Kosher, Vadala Bracha, Dam of Yekarim. Because over there we're talking about not an esrog that's fit to be used for the mitzvah, he wants a citron, he wants to make esrog jelly. So that will cost a pruta. But if a guy wants a Mahudr Dika Esrog to be Yotza the mitzvah on Sukkot, it's going to cost a lot more than a pruta, and even a lot more than Mazon Shalosh Seudos. So in any event, what we had said was, to put this in context, there is halacha, you're not allowed to profit from Peir Shvi'is. You're only allowed to use them for personal consumption, not for business. Money that you pay for Peir Shvi'is has that same restriction. It should only be used for personal consumption, for sustenance, not for profit. And we have to make sure that we don't give that maritz too much money in exchange for Peir Shvi'is because we don't trust how he's going to use it. Therefore, we're only allowed to give him mazon shalosh sudos. Now, via masar, what happens, two lines up from the bottom, what happens if you do give him more than mazon shalosh sudos? Yomar, hare mos, alolo yu mechulalon al peir shi'yesh li betok beisi. So what you try to do is you say, oh, this money, instead of this money having Peir Shvi'is, I am going to transfer the Kedusha Shvi'is that this money has on other payrolls that I have in my house that are not Shvi'is at all. So in other words, if Reuven wants to buy Peir Shvi'is from Shimon, and Shimon is a Nama Aretz, so Reuven is going to pay Shimon the full price of the Peir Shvi'is. He can't, because he's only allowed to give him Mazon Shalosh Sudos. So he says, I'm giving you all this money. I'm going to give you $50, $100. But the Kedusha that was on the money should be mechulal on other payros that I have in my house, and then he's going to make sure to treat those other payros properly along with Kedushas Shvi'is. It's okay. So now flipping over to Lamed Tes Amud Beis, Ubaba Ochlam V'Kedushas Shvi'is. And then he has to treat those payros that are back in his house with the Kedushas Shvi'is. They have to be La'ochla V'lo L'skara. So says the Gemara, B'medvar Mamurim, when do we say all of this, that you're allowed to give the Amaretz even a minimal amount of money, even in exchange for Peir Shvi'is? That's only below Keach Min HaMufkar. That's only if we're buying from a field that we see is Mufkar. We see, in other words, he's behaving as he should behave with the field. He's not guarding it. Ava below Keach Min HaMashumar. However, if a person is buying from an Amaretz and he sees that the field is guarded, you're not supposed to guard your fields during Shvi'is, they're supposed to be Hefker for everybody. But if you're buying from an Amaretz and you see that he's not treating the field the way the field is supposed to be treated on Shvi'is, afilu b'kachatzi iser aser, it's aser to give him anything. There's a machlokas in the Rishonim whether the Gemara is dafka. In other words, are you allowed to give him less than a chatzi yisur? Like, are you allowed to give him whatever amount of money this is? Are we saying that you're not allowed to give him that much, but you're allowed to give him less? Or is the Gemara basically trying to figure out a way to say that you're not even allowed to give him a minimal amount of money? So probably more mistaber to say that you're not allowed to give him a minimal amount of money. So says the Gemara, so Masav Rav Sheshes, umen amufkar gimel sudos vesulos. But if we see that the guy has been mafker his field, and now he's selling you peros that grew in his field, you're only allowed to give him mazon shalosh sudos and not more. V'raminu, I'll ask you akasha, ha-pegam, which is something called rue. V'ha-yarvuzin and sorrel, v'ha-shitin and asparagus, v'ha-gilgoles and v'ha-chal glogos and purslane. I don't even know what these English words mean. V'ha-kuzvar and coriander, shebaharim, v'ha-karpas and kresh, shebenaharos, that grow by the rivers, v'ha-gargir and rocket, shel afar, rocket of the meadow, p'turim and amaiser, they're potter from maiser, v'nikachin mikol adam b'shvi'is, and they're allowed to be bought from anybody on during Shemitah, Lafisha Ein Kayotza Ben Nishmar, because there is nothing of this type, which is guarded, because all this stuff is just like wild, like produce, like wild type of vegetables. Because none of this is ever guarded, you're just to let it buy it freely from the Amaretz. But from this Brisa, it's mashma that because stuff like this is never guarded, we don't have to be afraid that the Amaretz is treating the Shemitah produce and the Shemitah fields improperly. And therefore, what we say is flat out, you're allowed to buy from him. There's no restriction that you're only allowed to buy Mazon Gimel Sudos, says the Gemara. Hu Mosev La, Hu Mefarik La, Bichtei Manchanu. How do you know that when we say in the Brisa that you're allowed to buy from him, that it means unfettered ability to buy from him and pay as much as you want? No, that's not what it means. It means that you're only allowed to buy from him and pay Mazon Gimel Sudos, but you're not allowed to pay more than that. Bechtei mon means mazon. So v'chein amar Rabba Barbarchana amar Rav Yochanan bechtei mon shanu. That you're only allowed to pay him the amount of money for sustenance, for sudos. So that's a weird way of speaking. So my mashma da'ai mon lishan de mazonehu. How do we know that mon is a lashan of mazonos? I actually thought it's pretty poshut, right? Because mon was the mazon that we got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar. Okay, but the Gemara asks, how do we know that mon is lashan of mazonos? Dechsev, Vayaman len amelech, that the melech provided food for them. And Rashi explains that this pasuk is talking about Sarche Suda in Sefer Daniel. So we see that man is Sarche Suda. So the Gemara asks, how do you know, why do you say that you're only allowed to pay Mazon Gimel Sudos to the Amaretz? We have a brisa that says if it's things that don't grow in fields that are guarded, you're allowed to buy from the Amaretz, and it's mashma that you're allowed to pay as much as you want. Says the Gemara, no, it means that you're only allowed to pay up to Mazon Gimel Sudos, but not more than that. So says the Gemara, back to the question that was probably been bothering us the whole time. So it says, if you want to buy a lulav from an Amaretz during Shemitah, you have to make sure he kicks in the Esrog for free, or you have to be Mavliya, but you're buying all the Dalin Minim. Don't all the Dalin Minim have a problem that it's during Shemitah? So if you're not allowed to buy the Esrog from him, why in the world are you allowed to buy the lulav from him? Says the Gemara, Iachi lulav nami. But if so, you're not allowed to buy a lulav from him either. So says the Gemara, lulav bar shishis and nichtas l'shvias hu. No, the lulav is a bar shishis. It's not, even though you're buying the lulav during Shemitah, the lulav doesn't have the status of a Shemitah lulav, because the lulav will have a status of a produce of the sixth year that enters into the seventh year. Why? Because Rashi explains, because when are we buying the lulav? We're obviously buying the lulav before the 15th of the month of Tishrei. And in the 15 days between Rosh Hashanah and the 15th of Tishrei and Sukkot, the lulav is not going to grow like that. And we know that by an ilan, we hold basar chanata, which is when the fruit starts to emerge. When did the lulav start to emerge? If it grew into a big palm branch by Shemitah, by Sukkot of Shemitah, it started to grow the prior year, because there are two time periods that may be critical, which we're going to learn about right now. One is Basar Chanata, one is when the fruit begins to emerge. The second is Basar Lakita, when it's picked. So says the Gemara, even though the lulav might be picked during Shemitah, for the purpose of determining whether it has Kedusha Shvias, we hold Basar Chanata. We hold after when it emerged and not when it's picked. So says the Gemara, Iachi Esrog Nami Bar Shishis Anichnas L'Shviyasi. I buy an Esrog as well. Why is it a problem buying an Esrog? Let's just say, oh, the Esrog also grew in the sixth year and now it entered into the seventh year. Because Esrog Batar Lakitas Lina. Because by an Esrog, we're not going to follow Basar Chanata. We're not going to follow when it emerged. We're going to follow when you picked it from the tree. And if you pick the Esrog from the tree between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, that Esrog will in fact have the status of an Esrog of Shemitah. Says the Gemara, Bain Rabbi Gamliel, Bain Rabbi Eliezer, but both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say, Linyan Shvias, Esrog Batzar Chanatas Linan. But they both hold that the Esrog goes Batzar Chanata, just like the lulav. It follows when it emerges and not when it's picked. And if the Esrog is going to go Basar Chanata, Also, it should be an esrog of the sixth year, which enters the seventh year. Dithnan, esrog shava le'ilam begimel drachim v'liyerek v'derech echad. An esrog is considered to be like a tree in three manners, and it's considered to be like a vegetable in one respect. Shava le'ilam begimel drachim, it's considered to be like a tree in three different manners. La'arla, because the halach of arla of the first 3 years applies. Ularavi and netaravai. Ulishvius, and it is like a tree for shvius. And by shvius, as Rashi points out, das linan bay leinian shvius pasar chanata, that by an esrog we follow chanata, we follow when the fruit emerges and not when it's picked. Uli yerek b'derech echad, so derech agav, we say that it's considered to be like a yerek in one respect. Shebashash likitaso ishuro, that whether one has to give miser sheni or a miser ani, because it depends on whether you're giving it the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth year, shvius, there is no miser, but whether you have to give miser sheni and miser ani goes after when you pick it. Divrei Rabban Gamliel, that's Rabban Gamliel shita. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, esrog shavah le'ilan l'chol davar, then an esrog is shavah le'ilan l'chol davar, and in other words, that even its miser status goes basar chanata and not basar likita. So, over here, we had said, oh, the problem with the esrog of shvius is that we're going to go basar likita. We go after it was picked. We have this machlokes about whether the esrog is more like a tree or more like a vegetable. And everybody says, le'inyan shvius, it's more like a tree, meaning we're going to go basar chanata. Says the Gemara, who the amar ki ay tana? We hold like the following tana, the tanya. Amar Rav Yosi, av tol mishayed mishum chamisha zakenim, esrog achar lekita lemaiser, that esrog follows lekita lemaiser, whether you have to give maiser sheni, maiser oni, depends on when it's picked. The Rabbi Seinu nimnu ba'usha, v'amru bein lemaiser bein l'shvias, and the Rabbi Seinu ba'usha said that it goes baser lekita, both for maiser and shvias. Whoa, shvias man de karshme, who said anything about shvias? Zachzuri mechzra v'achiktani, esrog achar lekita lemaiser v'achar chanata l'shvias. So that's what the Tanakhama says. The esrog goes after lekita for meiser, after chanata when it emerges for shvius. For Rabbi Seinu nimle b'usha b'amru esrog basar lekita bein lemeiser bein leshvius. And the Rabbi Seinu nimle b'usha said that no, the esrog follows lekita both for meiser and for shvius. Oh, so over here we have Amandi Amar saying that by esrog we go basar lekita. That's what our Mishnah is holding like. And if you say that the esrog is basar lekita, so when you pick the esrog during Shemitah, it's going to have Kedusha Shvius, even though the Chanata was in the sixth year. So for the Lulav, where we're going to say it's like an Elon and we go basar Chanata, not going to be a problem. By an esrog where we go basar lekita, it is going to be a problem. Why would we distinguish between an esrog and an Elon? So Rashi explains over here, it's a long Rashi, we'll just say it outside, because an Elon grows only from rainwater. And therefore, things that are nourished only from rainwater, they go basar chanata. Vegetables, unlike trees, vegetables are generally irrigated by sources of water other than rainwater. In Esra, again, Rashi explained, this is called gadol al kolmayim, not only on megashamim, but that they grow through all water, including through irrigation. Then esrog is also gadol al kol mayim, like a vegetable. Therefore, the halacha would be like a vegetable, perhaps, for inyan of shvius. So we'll pick up the conversation tomorrow, but what we're taught, but the reason that you're allowed to buy the lulav and not the esrog is because the esrog are going to go basar lekita, which is during the Shemitah year. The lulav are going to go basar chanata, which is the shishas, anichlas l'shvius, and therefore it does not have kedushas shvius. So we'll stop here. We'll pick up, God willing, tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.